Good afternoon to all of you. As we make our initial attempts to continue to gather, even though we are not able to physically gather, we do have our Lenten service recorded here. There is also a document that is alongside of this that gives you the actual worship service. Feel free to open that up, pause this recording if you need to. Find that allows you to take part in the confession of sins and read along with the passion history. It is very similar to what we are used to doing in the last weeks. And so we begin in the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. And in your faithfulness come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? Yes, I believe. Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. Amen. We pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, and may we walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our harmony of the Passion history with our third lesson. While Jesus was still speaking, suddenly Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd with lanterns, torches, swords, and clubs from the chief priests and elders of the people. Judas was leading them. Then Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, who are you looking for? Jesus, the Nazarene, they replied. I am he, Jesus told them. Judas, the one betraying him, was standing with them. Then when Jesus told them, I am he, they backed away and fell to the ground. Then Jesus asked them again, who are you looking for? Jesus, the Nazarene, they said. I told you, I am he. Jesus replied, for if you are looking for me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the statement he had spoken, I lost none of those you gave me. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, whoever I kiss is the man, arrest him. Immediately he went to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Then they advanced, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. Then those who were around him saw what was about to happen. They said to him, Lord, should we strike with the sword? And Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. But Jesus responded, stop, no more of this. Put your sword back into its place, because all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you not realize that I could call on my Father, and at once he would provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. At that time Jesus said to the crowd, If you come out to arrest me with swords and clubs, as if I were a robber, day after day I was sitting in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all this has happened so that the writings of the prophets would be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. The company of soldiers, the commander, and the Jewish officers arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, because he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, it is better that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple kept following Jesus. That disciple was known to the high priest, so he went into the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. But Peter stood outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and talked to the girl watching the door and brought Peter in. The servants and officers were standing around a fire of coals they had made because it was cold. While they warmed themselves, Peter entered and sat down with the guards to see how it would turn out. While Peter was in the courtyard below, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked directly at him and said, You were also with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it in front of everyone, saying, I don't know what you are talking about. Woman, I do not know him. Then Peter went out to the entryway. Someone else saw him and said to those who were there, This is one of them. This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again Peter denied it with an oath and said, I do not know the man. After a little while, those who stood by came and said to Peter, Surely you are also one of them, because even your accent gives you away. You are a Galilean. Then he began to curse and to swear, I do not know this man you are talking about. I do not know the man. At that very moment, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the Lord's word, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went outside, broke down, and wept bitterly. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue or at the temple where all the Jews gather. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said. When he said this, one of the officers standing there struck Jesus in the face. Is that how you answer the high priest? He demanded. If I said something wrong, Jesus answered, testify about what was wrong. But if I said what is right, why did you hit me? The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they could put him to death. They found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. Yet even on this point, their testimony did not agree. The high priest stood up and said to him, Have you no answer? What is this that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I place you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you have said. But I tell you, soon you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? See, you have just heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, He is deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him. They covered his face, struck him with their fists, and said, Prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you? The guards also took him and beat him. And they went on saying many other blasphemous things against him. So far, the passion history of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. The Son of God goes forth to war. Even though our service has changed significantly in format as you sit in your homes and listen to this recording, we still continue our series and we still rejoice in the battle that has been fought and the battle that has been won. The Son of God goes forth to war. So far we have rejoiced in the fact that this warrior is the promised warrior, the one that God had always said would be coming. We've rejoiced in the skirmishes that God, the Son, engaged in on our behalf. Last week we rejoiced in the fact that Jesus is our hidden warrior. Even though he didn't look like a warrior, he was fighting and winning the war. So this Wednesday we continue to watch our Lord and our Savior go forth to war on our behalf. Our focus will be on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. God says, Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is the word of our God. Whether you have been part of a war or not, you understand the importance of good intelligence. Reconnaissance missions are vital to preparing and executing a plan. If the mission is a rescue mission, reconnaissance will tell you where the prisoner is held, how fortified the structure is, and how many people are defending it. If the mission is humanitarian, reconnaissance will tell you of any dangers or obstacles you may face and how many people need help. The Son of God goes forth to war. Today we take a look at the reconnaissance report. And we'll note 3 points in this reconnaissance report. Know your ally, know your equipment, know your enemy. The reconnaissance report will help you know your ally. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Your ally is none other than the Lord. There is no other place to be. No one else has the kind of strength found in our God. He has you surrounded. He holds you. He fights for you. He is strong. No one can stand against your ally. Paul refers to his mighty power. God is power. He has that raw power, that total power over another. He's strong enough to enforce his will over another. That's the idea behind the word mighty. Power is a word that stresses capability and potential. In other words, not only can your ally exert his power, he will. You can tell something's up. When I first started working on this sermon, I was expecting 3 smaller crowds of 50 or under. Now I'm in an empty church. No, I decided not to put on the robe. With my microphone and USB drive, something's different. Things are a bit surreal. How long will this last? What sort of toll will this take on our health, our finances, both personally and as a congregation and as a society? There's so much we don't know, but the reconnaissance report just came in. We know our ally. The Lord sends report. Know your ally. As we continue reading the reconnaissance report, we come to point two, know your equipment. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Remember when soldiers were referred to as GIs? GI stood for government issue. When someone joined the army, he didn't bring his own .22 rifle with the $15 scope that he bought at Gander Mountain. He was issued a rifle. He didn't come with his hard hat from work. He was issued a helmet. Whatever the soldier needs is given, issued to him. God does the same for us. We don't come to this battle with our own equipment. God doesn't expect us to engage in this fight with our own power and might. He issues our equipment. He gives us the full armor, everything we need to fight the battles that come our way, knowing the entire time the war is already won. God issues all of the equipment we need. You are familiar with the armor of God. God tells us what the equipment He's issuing to us is a little later in Ephesians 6. Stand then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place, and with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace tied to your feet like sandals. At all times, hold up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Know your equipment. Use all of it. The devil is going to use all his methods. Use all your equipment. Especially now, we will be working to find ways to use some of the equipment that we perhaps took for granted or really didn't think much about using. Now suddenly Facebook, YouTube, and websites are more important for continued encouragement than before. The devil certainly will use this time to try to undermine God's church, divide us up, and get us out of the routine of worship. Perhaps we are suddenly aware of how much we've set God aside. Now that we can't, have we discovered how long it's been since we did gather around the Word? Have we noticed a mechanical going through the motions in our worship? Are we busy planning how we are going to handle all of this but still are leaving God out? Use your equipment. Your Bible is there. God's blessings as you read it. Your family is there. God's blessings as you worship around the computer and the meditations book. Just because our regular way of worship has to cease in order to protect our neighbors doesn't mean worship has to stop. Know your equipment and use it. So far, the reconnaissance report has helped you know your ally and your equipment. Now that we know who's fighting with us, actually fighting for us, and we know the equipment we have to use, it's time to know your enemy. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Fighting flesh and blood would be easy. We know who he is. We can see the person or army standing before us. We can quickly assess what this person is capable of. We can see where to strike back. We know where to go to find the battle. We have a different enemy. Verse 12 gave us quite a list that we're up against. The point is clear. Know your enemy. He is obviously more powerful than we are. And he has one goal: evil. Your enemy wants you dead. If he can use this time to distance you even further from the Word or begin to pull you away, he will. If he can use this time to prevent us from hearing the Word, even if we desperately want to, he will. He wants us back in the darkness, and how easy it would be for us to slip back in the darkness. We're going to have to work at this a little harder now. How easy it might be to just give up. We're going to have to make it more of a priority in our own homes. How easy it may be to feel inadequate. Know your enemy, the devil, a world that will take advantage of this moment of uncertainty and weakness, and our own sinful flesh. Know your enemy. So back to our ally. The Son of God goes forth to war. He's seen the reconnaissance report. He knows exactly what he's facing. He knows who he's up against. He knows his methods, tricks, and lies. The Son of God is stronger than your enemy. The Son of God goes forth to war. The plan to take away your sin and provide you with eternal life was in place even before time began. The plan was executed. Jesus has taken all Satan's accusations away because Jesus' perfection is your perfection. Jesus has taken Satan's greatest tool away, death. Jesus died. Your sin is paid for. Death is no longer wages, but now deliverance from the enemy. Know your ally. Know your equipment. Know your enemy. Know you have won. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, Son of God, we come before you today and cling to the promises you have given us. There is so much uncertainty now. How long before the virus runs its course? How long before we can come back together again? How will this affect our work, our travel, our families, our ministry, our Easter and confirmation plans? But we are certain that you, dear Son of God, are not uncertain. You are not struggling like we are with what to do next. You have won, and because of that, we also have won. Fill us with the confidence that you are in control at all times, including this time. Thank you for the reminder that no matter what we face, you are our ally and always have been. Remind us of the equipment we've always had, your word and the sacraments. Remind us of the enemy, the defeated enemy we face. Give us the strength to recognize new and old temptations. Give us the time to refocus on your promises. Give us the means to provide for the families and work of the church that depend on us. May we live, work, and worship, knowing we can depend on you to supply, protect, and bless. Amen. And we join in the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we also join in Luther's evening prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. Forgive me all my sins, and graciously keep me this night. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's try and close our worship by singing hymn 125. If you do not happen to have a hymnal with you at home, the words are printed on that document that accompanies this recording. We'll see how well this works. I do have the music here on my computer. There will be a little bit of an introduction, and hopefully you'll be able to hear the music. Otherwise, feel free to join along with me as we sing the four verses of hymn 125. When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See, from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. God's blessings to all of you as we continue to work through this interesting time in our lives. Feel free to encourage others to go to this recording. Feel free to take it to those who perhaps are unable to access it on their own. Of course, keep checking back to our website. Keep checking on our Facebook page. You can also get updated information by calling the church at 608-786-1250 and go to extension 3. God's blessings, and may He watch over, guide, and take care of all of you.